Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Outlander Season 8, Episode 10, And the World Was All Around Us. It's the series finale.
Yay, the series finale. Yes, I know that you all are anxiously awaiting something other than Outlander, because we are too. And so we are covering this last episode. We just watched it. It just dropped yesterday. So we are actually recording this in a timely manner, although it's going to be released significantly later. Not super significantly, but you know what I mean. So we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. Yep, pretty sure. We have spoilers, obviously, for Outlander, and particularly this season finale, series finale for Outlander. We have lots of thoughts about it, so if you aren't ready to talk about it, don't be listening to this. And of course, we are having something to drink. This was my idea, and it is the Iron Horse Winter's Cuvée. It probably sounds a bit odd, but for this coming out in June in North America, so it's going to be a little bit strange to do Winter's Cuvée, but it's number one, something that we had. Number two, thematically appropriate for some traveling we're going to be doing to cold areas. And it's really, really good. Don't you think it's good?
It is good.
So this brand, this has a little bit of brandy in it. So it is made with just like a little bit of brandy, must, whatever. And it's got a good wintry, slightly sweet flavor. And it's lovely. So it may or may not be better than this episode, or better than Outlander, or whatever. We're going to talk about it because that's part of what we do. So there's only one storyline.
Yeah. Also, let me just say for this episode, not much happens.
Mm-mm.
And that could be said about Outlander in general, but I think that really is a culmination of everything. It's just like the first half of the episode, and this is compared to like some longer Outlander episodes, this is about the same as like any old, maybe like 10 extra minutes than we usually get.
It's yeah, not, like, a lot of that is flashback stuff that you expect for a season
compared to like the season finale of like season two, where that was like an hour and a half. And I mean, right, we're kind of rightfully so considering what they were trying to do with it. But that's a whole thing. But yeah, this one's only an hour 10. The first half of it's mostly just like, oh, these are, let's remember who's in our cast and
And everybody says goodbye to each other. And honestly, the goodbyes are pretty well done. You are always getting goodbyes between Jamie and Claire, and those, because it is the entire series.
It's true.
Get a bit overworked and you know, or goofy, like this has goofy bee analogies, but you know, it's fine for what it is. I mean, it's fine for Outlander because that's what Outlander does, but the ones with other characters I think are really pretty well done. I liked particularly the goodbye between Fanny and Claire.
I liked that too.
And I really liked the one between Jamie and Brianna. I thought was really good too. So
I thought they were in character.
They were definitely in character. They were the kinds of things, you know, as with all of these Outlander kinds of tropes, it's aspirational. You know, people don't really talk like this.
Well, there's also a moment where Jamie's writing his will and he leaves basically everything to Claire except for some acres for Brianna and Roger to like
make. Oh, these are good bequests, actually. They're pretty
good. I wrote them down.
Good.
Brianna and Roger, some acres of land for them to build their house. He leaves money to the grandkids, all of them.
That includes Marcelly and Ferguson's kids.
Yes. The books to Roger, tools and weapons to Ian. Marcelly gets his stationery and ink and quills and such. Mm-hmm. William gets whiskey and a Bible. Lord John Grey gets nothing. And I think he should have gotten his chest set or something like that.
That would have made sense, wouldn't it?
But I think that could have been a nice nod of like, all right, we see Lord John Grey in the final episode, even though we said our goodbyes to both him and William last episode. we still get to see William in this episode. Not yeah, like he doesn't
he's riding a horse, but I think that there. This is a blood of my blood situation. So this is Jamie thinking about his blood. Mm. And so I think that that's where the focus is for him in his last, you know, thoughts, last will and testament. So I didn't mind Lord John Grey not being part of it. I know that he's like one of your favorite characters. So I get it, but I was kind of grateful that, you know, they did acknowledge, you know, you've got death coming and you need to make a will. And that's smart. Interesting choices, though. I mean, whiskey and a Bible. All right. Yeah. I guess he figured William's taken care of financially, so.
Well, he is. Yeah, sure. But also, William is the one he kind of, like, christened, almost. And that's why he gave him the Bible, I'm assuming. Anyway, then him and Claire have this really long conversation with the metaphor about bees and how they want to just spend as much of their time together as they can. She also talks about that vase that she was talking about in the very first episode of the series and how she never felt like she had a home until she found him, which is very sweet. Mm-hmm. They talk about how they've gotten what they wanted and they hope to never let it go. Brianna and Roger will start their house when Roger gets back from battle. She's concerned about her father, obviously. Claire talks to Fanny, who's very upset that they are going into battle because they had this whole conversation about how she hates losing people, and now she knows that her grandfather's not going to survive this because she overheard, mm-hmm. and so they're just fucked.
Yeah.
And Claire comforts her. It's very sweet. Brianna and Jamie talk, and he gives her Frank's book, which we thought was going to be, like, she's going to read the book, which clearly she hasn't.
Right.
Because he was the one who told her about him dying.
Yeah, Jamie did. And I think it's just really disturbing because there's a lot of stuff left on the table with things that these characters could have done. And I want to pause here because I agree about the Brianna thing, but I want to go back to Fanny because she talks about how, you know, I've gotten very strong and helpful, and I want to go with you to the battle. This is what she's telling Claire. And we've seen her. She had a huge reaction to the stone she picked mm-hmm. up, the geode that she had picked up.
The humming.
And the buzzing. And so we're thinking, oh, wow, like she has a lot of power in this time travel thing, you know, based on the rules that have been established so far.
Maybe she can establish a new stone circle on top of King's Mountain, and maybe she can make Jamie
Part of yeah, I mean, it seems, and there's a lot of discussion about, you know, the wolves are in our hearts now about how, you know, Claire tells Fanny that people that you love are always with you, basically. It's the Harry Potter thing, too.
Yeah.
They're always in your heart. And Fanny takes that forward a little bit later in the episode and says, like, you know, that means that we are with them and we have to be strong for them while they're in this battle. And so, again, you get this sense that, like, hey, we are able as a community to kind of physically make things happen for them.
Two things. One, I will say, I mentioned this right after we watched and we were discussing Fanny and how they have established that she can time travel. I think that they probably should have done that buzzing sequence before we knew that she was Faith's daughter.
Yeah.
So that we would get like an, ooh, she's a traveler. How is she a traveler? Like, how is that
possible? Is she related somehow?
Is she from the future and like somehow got there? It's like, mm-hmm. that would be a nice gateway into that storyline.
This is a time travel show, people.
Yes, but they didn't go that way. So they just introduced it late and didn't do anything about it afterwards, which is something. It's a choice.
We're going to talk about that later.
Number two, with the women left behind, because I will go ahead and discuss this now, because we only get one extra scene of these people in the entire show. Brianna, Lizzie, Rachel and Fanny are left behind at the ridge to take care of the kids and take care of the house and all that stuff while they go. Everyone else goes off to battle. And this would have been the perfect time to have Rob Cameron come back and attack.
Yeah.
And the girls take him down.
Yes, that would have been great.
That would have been awesome.
It would have, you know, Mr. Misogynist. Ha.
Imagine Rachel gets all down and dirty. Oh, God,
yeah.
With her husband's tomahawk or some shit, like he leaves it behind for her. Oh, yes.
Rachel gets like nothing
They
in this episode.
decapitate him.
That would be cool, Natalie, but she gets nothing in this episode
She
other than she kisses
kisses
Anna.
Ian,
That's it.
and she's like, "This is far enough. Bye." Like,
And we
what?
see her shucking corn. She says nothing.
She also, like, ever since they came back from New York, they have had basically nothing to do other than Ian said, "I'm gonna be on your." No, that was even before they left for New York. So yeah, they haven't gotten anything since they've gotten
Nothing.
back
And
from
I
New
would
York.
love to see you have this adoption of this Native American child is going. I
How she's
mean, like,
handling it.
yeah, and you know, like what kind of family growth struggles they're having, because clearly that's been a theme in Outlander, but no, we're not going to explore that at all.
And
It's
with
just,
the whole, like, him giving her Frank's book, it's like, that doesn't do anything.
yeah, Jamie giving it to Brianna, like you think this is going to be meaningful, and why didn't you do this before? What the fuck is up with you, Jamie? And oh, Brianna, read it now, like see what you find out about this battle or whatever.
But then she
Yes,
doesn't,
that happens.
and nothing matters. And
Oh.
again, to be fair, it's not like there was any more information in there, and she probably couldn't have gotten to King's Mountain in time to like help or anything. However, again, give them something to do.
Yeah.
I feel like there was so much wasted potential in this episode that it was like, okay, well, what about the other characters we have spent so much time with? Like anything. Then Jamie talks to the bees about being good to Claire if he's gone, and it's like, okay.
Again, the bee analogy, which they have used a couple of times in this season, is not hitting the way they think it's hitting.
They make camp the I say they, the people who are actually going to be a part of this plot, make camp below King's Mountain. The people who go with Jamie and Claire are Roger for religious purposes.
Yes.
I thought he was gonna fight, but then he didn't. So I was like, okay, I guess
No,
he's just gonna
he couldn't
blast
give people a
people.
laugh,
Yeah,
right?
that's fine. And like, it's what he did in the last battle he was in, so like,
Yeah.
that makes sense. Josiah, not Keziah. Keziah, I have no idea where the fuck he is
Well,
because,
they aren't even bothering to do the duplicate thing here. It's
yeah, they're
really
not.
sad.
William Mackenzie, and that's it. Those are the
But yeah,
only
there
people
was
I
some guy
know.
from the store, the redheaded guy that they gave the store to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, they're all there. All the people we really care about. Oh, Ian's there too. But
And
then
Ian gets good stuff. I mean,
he does, to be fair. They make camp below King's Mountain and they hear Frank's voice talking about the facts of the battle and blah, 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 blah,
but
blah.
not in, he gives some detail, and you're thinking, ah, we're going to get more. No,
No, it's just the one. It's just
like
the
a
one.
line.
It's just the one line. Apparently, Jeremiah and Mandy can like they told Jamie and Claire this, that they can hear each other in their like mind's
You
eye,
know how
twin
we've seen them
telepathy. We've
connected.
talked about that,
Yeah.
but they can also hear their parents. We have also kind of seen that as well. But they can't hear Jamie or Davy, their new younger brother.
Yeah, they can hear Claire too. So all of the people we know can time travel, they can hear them.
And so Jamie has three requests. One, have a
He's telling
mass.
Claire this, by the way.
Yes, have a mass for his soul with a priest. Two, Mandy says Davy might not be able to pass through the stones, and the family should go through the stones.
Yeah, the family should go through the stones without Davy. Leave Davy with Rachel and Ian.
It's and then Claire's like, Brianna's not gonna want that. And
Yeah,
also, we
no.
have covered this in every season of Outlander. I'm not going to leave if you die.
This is where I am. This is where my family is. It's not like any of that's going to happen. I'm staying. Sorry.
Three, remember him. Easy.
Yeah.
And then they have sex. They Jamie has a couple of pep talks before the battle with his troops and all that stuff. Jamie tells Roger to look after Claire because they're going to stay. Well, he thinks they're going to stay at the camp and
Yeah, the
deal
hospital, a
with
field
the
hospital, yeah.
triage and stuff. And then Claire and Jamie say goodbye before battle in Gaelic, and it's very sweet.
The
Battle
fact
commences without with very little fanfare. It just kind of happens.
I think that's often how battles happen, display, but
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but like in a drama show like this, I feel like there probably should have been a little bit more like a slow-mo, kind of a Culloden like something.
yeah,
It's the
well.
final battle. Like, I don't know. Claire plans to go up the mountain
It's not
to.
really the final battle. Blood of my blood's gonna have battles.
I am
Sorry.
excited for that. And I will watch Blood of My Blood season
Of course you
two.
will.
Claire plans to go up the mountain to do field triage and help Jamie if he needs it, and Roger follows her. Then we have the whole Brianna, Rachel, Lizzie, and Fanny, who Fanny's just like, don't forget, they're in our hearts. It's like, okay. Great. Claire and Roger are helping some fallen men. Claire leaves her bag, her medical bag, like a dumbass and runs off. She also
No,
brought a
she doesn't
gun.
leave it. It falls from her and slides down the mountain that she's trying to climb.
And then
And
she
she just
leaves
leaves
it.
it. It's like your gun's in there, your all of your medical stuff is in there. Like if somebody needs you, if in fact Jamie is hurt or whatever, you need your
And you
shit.
could treat it.
And it's not like it gets really far away. I mean, whatever. So she runs up the mountain to the battle, like someplace she absolutely does not belong. And while she is there, we get to see, like people are, dying, and she's having Roger bless them, and she tries to like help a couple of people and send them back to the field hospital, but she keeps going unarmed and whatever. At one point, she is n nearly going to be killed by a British officer. She then grabs a pistol off of another British officer and kills that guy. And she keeps going. Soon, the battle seems to be over, and Jamie is fine. Jamie sees her, and the I guess it's the Colonel Ferguson or whatever his name is. Is coming up behind Jamie on a horse, looking like he's gonna hack Jamie down. But because he can see in Claire's eyes, Jamie turns around and like knocks him off of his horse. That guy is taken off with the other prisoners from the battle, and it's all like yay, and Jamie and Claire kiss on the battlefield, and she's like, "I gotta go back and help people. I'm so grateful you're alive," kind of thing. Frank
Never
was
leave him
wrong.
alone.
Yeah, Frank was wrong, and we're all kind of going, why are you leaving him? This is dumb. And of course, we're right. It is dumb. As she is going back down the mountain, he goes to get the surrender from Colonel Ferguson. Ferguson pulls a pistol and shoots him in the torso somewhere,
Close to his heart.
close to his heart. Claire feels it, runs back, and Jamie's, got a fatal wound. And he dies in her arms. The what right before that, because it's really interesting how slow-mo this is. None of the other soldiers react the way they ought to, which is like, do something about this guy who just shot your leader. They eventually do, and actually William Mackenzie's the first one to do something, which is kind of
And then
interesting.
Ian tomahawks him.
Yeah, which is awesome. And Ian, they've had some good things in the battle, like Josiah did too. Those things have been good. We're not really getting into too much detail because honestly, this battle doesn't get a lot of airplay, really.
It really doesn't.
But Claire is devastated, and she curls up with Jamie's body on the top of the mountain and stays there for days. We see the night falls next morning. Roger's trying to get her to leave. She's not leaving. And she's not allowing them to move Jamie's body either. Some of you may remember that magically in this season, Claire has powers.
Yeah, blue light
And
powers.
we knew immediately when she was not leaving how this was going to go. Do you want to talk about it?
I would love to talk about it.
Go ahead.
So there is a flashback to the first ever episode of the first season. And if you, many Outlander people may recall, in the first episode, Frank is walking back to the inn in the rain, and
Edinburgh.
he's, it doesn't matter. And he sees some weird Scotsman watching Claire brush her hair in the mirror. And he is like, what the fuck? This peeping Tom is looking at my wife. He goes up to talk to him, but the guy disappears. So we see that it is Force Ghost Spirit Jamie, but like
He's young.
younger.
He's young. I mean, he's definitely the young Jamie.
And he. We see those events, and then we
Again.
see Jamie, young Jamie, Force Ghost Jamie. When our listener was watching with us, and he had questions about that, and the way I equated it was this is Jamie after these 8 seasons of Outlander. However, you know how in Return of the Jedi, when George Lucas decided to remaster it, and Darth Vader, spoiler alert, dies, and we see his Force ghost, and it's Hayden Christensen.
It's exactly like that.
That is so the you get
young Jamie.
That is it.
He goes to the stones at Cregna Dune as Force ghost, which we hadn't seen. They change it to color, so it's like, ooh, it may not be a dream, but it's sort of a dream. It might be a haunting. It might not be.
It might be heaven. It might not.
It might not. But he touches the center stone, like he's looking at other stones, but then he touches the center stone, and nothing happens because, you know, we've had it reiterated in this episode that he can't time travel. But after he touches the stone, the blue flowers that Claire had gone back for at Cregna Dune, that's what caused her to hear the buzzing and go through the stones. The blue flowers bloom as he walks away from the big stone in the middle. And clearly, I guess, he's leaving breadcrumbs for Claire to follow through time,
I guess,
or something.
So then there's, as expected, the flashback montage of their entire relationship.
Which is great.
Which is I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just, it's so funny. Like, the balance of what we see is so heavily on the first season.
Oh, yeah.
And then we just breeze past seasons 5, 6, and 7.
But at least they show season 5, 6, and 7, unlike the Downton Abbey flashback in the last movie where it's all season 2.
As it should have been.
As it should be. It's the best season by far, but still.
And again, it's Outlander knowing which one season's the best season, spoiler alert, mm-hmm. and capitalizing on our nostalgia for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But we come back to the present, or, you know, King's Mountain, where Jamie is.
Yeah. And Claire's hair is more white than it was before, and they both wake up and then roll
take
credits.
A deep breath and roll credits, and that's it. And then there is a post-credits scene with Diana Gabaldon signing books, and she appears to have Claire's
journal
where
that she wrote
been
down
telling
her narrative.
Their story, and that's after how many hours of rollers now.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, let's talk about this episode first. So, good, best parts. What were your best parts?
I will say they used the original credit sequence from season 1.
I love that.
That was it. Actually, made me cry, and it's probably because I'm PMSing right now. But it really did make me cry.
Definitely some callbacks and stuff that made me
because
teary.
We have,
yeah, absolutely.
Because if we haven't mentioned this before, but they do something that, like, shows like The Wire and mm-hmm. many other shows do, where they have a theme song, but they have different artists cover it for different seasons.
Yeah.
And they've been doing that since maybe season 4?
No, well before that. They started that well before that. They had the Jamaican one and everything else. No, they've been doing it a long time ago. I have commented on it in other seasons. We don't spend a lot of time on it, but it is. We had the breathy one from season 7. Oh. Like, yikes.
But we get the original theme song with the original credits. Like, mm-hmm. all of it's the original credits mm-hmm. from season 1. And it's, oh, it's so sweet. I loved that they did that. That was really awesome.
And they know. This is why your audience is still here, because season 1 was really good.
Mm-hmm. The goodbyes are nice. The boys killing the guy who shot Jamie is good. There is a flashback to Adzo, the cat.
Oh, the kitty!
And then the flashback to season 1, where we get to at least see that moment again.
Yeah.
With the rain and all that stuff.
Yeah.
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 That's what I wrote down.
Yeah, my best parts are the flashbacks, with the exception of the add-ons. I love everyone shooting the British guy. I think that was really great. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just the overkill kind of thing. It's totally understandable. I really liked Fanny's performance in this. I think
Fanny was
as
good.
An actress, she's doing a phenomenal job. And that's everything I wrote down.
Worst parts, Claire leaving her medical bag and running into battle like a moron. That's really dumb. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
I understand in essence why she would want to go up and be there, and in case Jamie needed her. That's totally fine with me. That makes perfect sense. It's more that she left her fucking medical bag after she dropped it. That is so dumb.
And so unclear-like. I mean, she's not somebody who does stuff like that. This whole episode is kind of, there's some unclear-like things here.
And the magical powers of La Dame Blanche. I just think that's a cop-out.
Yeah.
I've thought that ever since they introduced that concept, I thought it was a cop-out. And what I will give the writers credit for in the way that they completely ended it is that it is kind of vague. And so you can see it as they both died and they are waking up in the afterlife. You could also think of it as she did use her powers, which I think is probably what they're implying. But she did use her powers and they are waking up from life. And I think there are many ways to interpret it, but I think that they want to imply that she used her powers, which I think is a cop-out, but whatever.
Is that everything?
Yeah, that's all I wrote down.
I've got a lot of plot convenience. The first thing is the plot convenience survival. So I feel like this sudden magical power thing that Claire has is very inconsistent with what the show has shown us up until the latter half of the season. And I understand maybe what the message is supposed to be is that all of these things that we think can be explained with science really can't. And, you know, there is magic in the world and love conquers all and all of those things. I think the message certainly of this show has been, you know, that their soulmate nature means that wherever they are together. If they are together, it's home. And that is a lovely romantic concept that honestly I don't have a problem with. I do have a problem with pretending that there's something, I don't know, that. I don't know. They make it into this magic thing, which I don't really buy. And I don't buy it in the context of this show. I hate that there's no time travel at all. Mm. Like, there's no real discussion of, I mean, other than, hey, you know, you should go back. And she's like, no. There could have been time travel in this.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like that's wasted.
I do feel like I completely missed like a loose thread's worst part, yeah. And also ignoring women.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like Force Ghost Jamie. That whole thing, I think, was unnecessary. I mean, I guess they're trying to explain this.
They
plot
didn't explain
loophole
it though.
From season one, but it doesn't explain.
They
anything.
Didn't explain it, and I think that's the thing. Like when I said the flashbacks from season one, I had initially, when I wrote it down, meant that one, but that was before I saw the flashback montage, something that I liked better. So I'm choosing that to be like that montage is what I liked. But yeah, I do agree. Like I had mentioned before we started the final season that I did want that moment to be explained.
Right, but they didn't.
But they chose not to. They chose to show it and then just be like, and flowers appear, and then they wake up, and they left way too many things vague for me. For
well,
my
maybe
liking.
He's got magic too.
Love is magic. I think that it would have made the most sense if he did die and that was his ghost or something, and if they had just gone with that. But then they
and
wake
he's
up
leaving
and
her
like,
flowers that they
yeah,
can be bees and sleep in her.
Yeah, that would have been fine, but they didn't go for that. They just went for, remember this scene? Okay, that's going to happen, and then he's going to disappear and we're not going to get any answers about it.
We did not get answers.
One thing our listener mentioned that I want to give some airtime to, which I definitely agree with, is that he thought that what could have been a better idea is if in season three, after Culloden, Jamie was able to go back in time and he chose to go back in time and he accidentally went to that moment instead of right when Claire went back. Mm-hmm. And he saw Claire in the window and Frank approached him and he realized that she seems happier there without him. And so he went back in time to go back to his own time and leave her to her happiness, and then runs into her later in life and is like, holy shit, you weren't happy. Great.
Love you. But I think that offends me. No, there are a lot of possibilities that could have been used here. Since we are in a multiverse, you can do anything you feel like in a multiverse. But the thing that they have chosen to do is weak sauce, in my opinion. It's just not. It doesn't have the impact I think that they're hoping for. For anybody that actually applies some rational thought to it. I did not like the failure to have time travel in this season. I mean, I really feel like it's a time travel show. And for that not to factor into the finale is, I mean, unless they're suggesting that Jamie time traveled and then time traveled back, which they're not. So it's nuts to me. I don't like the pale blue light thing. I don't like that Brianna got nothing. I don't like that they left this Fanny has travel ability thing just out there hanging. I think there's a lot of stuff hanging with William. I mean, honestly, this kind of ending is basically, hey, we can have a sequel. I mean, and that's what it seems like to me. We already know they're doing the money grab with Blood of My Blood. And I'm not saying that it's a poorly developed anything. It's just basically the same show.
But with different people.
But with different people, fine. But if you want to watch it. The same season as season one, okay. Beautiful people doing beautiful things. We do like that. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I don't know that the Outlander universe has the structure to hold all of the things, people, plots that they're trying to throw into it.
I will also add to that, with Blood of My Blood, we have watched the first season. The second season is out this fall. And I found, much like I found in the later seasons of Outlander when they just completely ignored the time travel element, that whenever the time travelers were not really heavily a part of the main plot, I was a little bit more bored than I should have been.
Yeah.
And not to say that the plot that didn't involve time travel wasn't interesting or good or worth its own time. That's not true. It was. But it needed the balance of both plots being handled at once to make it more interesting and engaging for the audience. And I think that's definitely was true about later seasons of Outlander, when you just completely ignore that Claire's from the future and just have them do daily tasks on the farm, not complaining about anything, about like what they miss.
I miss peanut butter and jelly. I mean, seriously?
I mean, there was a moment in season four when Brianna joined the Ridge, and she, right before she like found out she was pregnant or whatever, and her and Claire were talking about things they missed about the future. And I was like, okay, well, where was that energy? Why wasn't Brianna doing more innovations? Why wasn't she, I don't know. I feel like there was a lot missing from that element, because that is the core of the show.
It is.
It's time travel.
But again, we've ignored that for romance, which, you know, I'm as romantic. We watched Bridgerton. That's what started our podcast is Bridgerton. I mean, if your whole focus is the romance, then have that be the focus. Fine. You know, I'm down for that in the right context. But this was supposed to be something else, and it has turned out to not be something else. It is just basically a romance show, which it does not have adequate romantic elements to keep us engaged, because a lot of it is just Jamie and Claire talking about how much they love each other and how long they've loved each other, which is not as fun to watch as you might think. So I don't find this resolution as good as I'm sure they intended for it to be. So let's grade this. Number one, what grade did you give this episode?
B minus.
I gave it a B minus also.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just not.
It's great. An Outlander episode. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty average.
Yeah, it's not a great Outlander episode.
I wanted it to be.
I did too, and there was potential there, but they just didn't use it.
Again, with like the possibilities of the ending, I just feel like they didn't wrap it up all that well.
It's kind of like end of Game of Thrones. Like, oh, geez, it's just shit, isn't
At
it?
least at the end of Game of Thrones, you have montages of like where they're going to go next.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Whereas
true.
in this, we just have them waking up, which is a fine end to a season, but not a series, I don't think.
No, and it definitely was like, hey, we can do more. And just that whole idea of like season 9 of Outlander, God, please, no.
It's not going to happen, but.
No, but it, whatever. So let's rank the seasons. Apparently, we did not rank the seasons at the end of season 7.
We were a little bit busy with all the other shit
we
at
were,
the end of season 7.
And honestly, season 7 is so schizophrenic. I think that it was a problem that we were having because the first half of season 7 is so very, very different from the second half of season 7. So
Okay.
Let's just go ahead. I think it's very easy. The first season is the best season.
Yeah.
Simple.
I think I've got mine.
Okay.
So I think from top to bottom, season 1, season 2, season 4, season 3, season 7, season 5, season 6.
Where does season 8 factor in?
Fuck. I forgot about season 8. Oh, no.
Oh, no. So let me do what I've got right now.
Okay.
And this is subject to change with discussion because I really have blotted out a lot of Outlander because a lot of it's boring. So season 1, season 2, season 4, season 3, season 5, season 8, I think.
Yeah.
And then I have to split up season 7 because the second half of season 7 is better than the first half of
I
season
do agree
7.
with
So
that.
second half of season 7 might even be better than season 8.
I think it is.
Yeah. So second half of so let me go back to the beginning.
What's in season 5 that we like?
I don't remember. It's better than season 6. I know that.
Bonnet's in it for a second. He's kind of the villain-ish.
I know, season 5's not that great, is it?
Season 5's not that great. That's
right.
why I ranked it a little bit lower.
All right, so season 1,
season
2,
season
4,
season
3.
three. All right, let's, all right.
And now
We're halfway there.
Second half of season
yeah,
7.
Second half of season 7, season
season
5.
First half of season 7.
Yeah.
Well, no,
no,
season 8, I
season
think.
8.
Season 8.
First half of season 7, then season 7.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
We did it.
Definitive.
We did it.
Lo y se mas.
And we just happen to have the same one. You
no,
know what? That's just
but,
gonna be
I
how
mean,
it's gonna
that's
be.
The reality of having watched this together and spent as much time with it as we did.
Yeah.
I think that I have no idea what I would do if they start coming out with prequels. I think it's going to be like Game of Thrones. Like, I don't really want to cover those on the podcast because I'll
Like Blood
watch
of My
them.
Blood.
Yeah, like Blood of My Blood. I don't know that I really want to cover that on the podcast. And
I don't
unless
feel like we
something.
need to, unless something
No.
crazy happens in later
No.
seasons. I don't think
Same
so.
thing of like House of the Dragon. Like, there are a
I'm
couple
not,
good
we're not
things.
covering House.
Matt's, yeah, Matt Smith's awesome. Don't really care. The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. No. I'm not saying I won't watch it. I'm saying that it is not inspiring me to have a discussion about it or to put in the work.
Yeah, I don't really have that much to say about it. And having talked about all 8 seasons of Outlander, I don't regret bringing this one forward as one that we cover on the podcast, but it certainly was a little bit of a slog to get through.
Yeah.
There were others that were more of a slog. I forget which ones.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is our next episode, we should look at what we've done, do a retrospective.
I think that
Look
could
at
be
what
fun.
we've done.
That might have to be a two-parter because
it may, but we've covered a lot.
We have.
But I think that we need to, you know, do a retrospective
I need to make a list.
and kind of think through where we should go from here. Obviously, and we've mentioned this before, we have an email.
We do. BuzzBinging@gmail.com.
And if you want us to cover something, we're really interested in what you want to hear. Because again, I feel like we just do what we feel like doing, and with it's kind of like speaking into the void. certainly we want some sort of response. We hope that you're getting something out of it. We do have listeners all over the world, which is exciting, but we don't get feedback from you. So it's really hard to tell what you're getting out of it and where you want things to go. So
some that we're poking around of like potential long running shows that we could do. Well, obviously we have Lord of the Rings that you want to do.
I do.
We have two long running shows that we haven't covered that I can think of Stranger Things and Once Upon a Time.
Oh God, Once Upon a Time.
Holy I know.
Wow.
We have to come up with something for Once Upon a Time. It's a different format than what we usually do.
Yeah.
It would have to be covering multiple episodes at a time. It would take a lot of time commitment. But, I mean, we could do it if we really, like, come up with a better plan.
I gotta admit, the first couple seasons of Once Upon a Time were fucking awesome.
They are
awesome. Loved that show. Oh, my God, I loved
it. We watched that shit live.
We did, and you were young, and I loved it. It was so fun. Absolutely loved it. And, of course, there are other, like, types of shows. We haven't done any kind of procedurals or anything, mostly because they're so
boring.
Yeah, they're so samey-samey, you know? It gets kind of just, you've seen it before. You've seen some type of this show before.
Yeah.
I like the idea of going into things that are a little more fantasy romance. Mm-hmm. Obviously a little sci-fi, a little dystopian.
Of the ones that I've just mentioned, other than Lord of the Rings, which we could kind of easily do after a retrospective as just like a three-episode thing, I do kind of want to do Once Upon a Time.
I think we need to discuss.
We will definitely discuss it.
No, because honestly, I do. I absolutely love those first several seasons. So there's a lot
part
to accept
I liked about all the seasons, but I don't remember seasons 6 and 7.
Yeah, the last couple seasons had real problems, as I recall. But hey, tell us what you want us to do. We are very, very curious.
We are open.
We will take a look at stuff. We hope that, of course, you join us. And cheers.